Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Be Better Podcast. We are not in
a different location.
We are. So Gabby is sick and tired of coming to my house. So Gabby invited.
It's the Gabby Button HQ.
This is. So this is the North headquarters. I would say this is the northern outpost of Final K and Be Better.
Flashback to the '80s.
Oh, it's such a great place. So Gabby's we're up in North Oaks, Minnesota.
Yep.
And we're in Gabby's
grandpa's house. Yeah.
If you took 1984 and imagined that with your grandparents, that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I would have it no other way.
Yeah, it's perfect.
It's so classic. And we have super fun guests today,
we
Gabby.
We do.
We got two people that one person that I know and one person that I we'd be meeting for the first time.
Yeah.
And they are from the U.S. Olympic bobsledding team. And we're gonna say, why? How does bobsledding fit? And how the hell do you know those people? And so we'd like to welcome onto the call here today, Christy Copeland and Nicole Broomgard.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
How are you guys doing?
I am doing so good. Just taking an in-between break at the gym. So you caught me at a good time.
I'm wonderful. I'm just hanging out in Nebraska, waiting for Thanksgiving this week. So back home.
All right. Nicole, and Nebraska is home for you too, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Yeah, and so a little bit of background. So I'm just that I've got on you guys because I had to creep on you guys for a little bit here, and thank goodness that the Team USA website has such great information. Although Christy does not have a photo on there, so I'm just going to say, maybe be a little bit better on that.
Yeah, I agree.
Hashtag be better. Hashtag.
Although Christy, I do know that you're working on a splash page photo. I saw that that you were kind of putting it out there. So at some point in time, we'll get that on there. But so Nicole, you're from Norfolk, Nebraska. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And graduate of Wayne State, where you were a volleyball player and a sprinter. And fun fact here: in 2008, you were the World Herald Nebraska Girls High School Athlete of the Year for Norfolk Catholic School. That is a mouthful.
That's a mouthful.
That has to be one of probably the biggest trophies in the world, right?
It feels like forever ago since that happened. I actually don't know where it's at anymore, but that was a pretty cool honor back in the day, and still is pretty cool.
That's awesome. Congratulations on that. And Christy,
thank you,
is a Utah native. You have your BS in nursing at Southern Utah University, and you were also a member of the ROTC there. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, I kind of grew up all over. My dad was in the military, so I graduated from high school in Utah, but I lived in Pennsylvania for most of my high school career, surprisingly. Most people don't know that.
And where in Pennsylvania?
I was South Central, outside of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, middle of nowhere, kind of town called Mechanicsburg.
Mechanicsburg. Yeah. That sounds like Pennsylvania.
People who know how to take care of their vehicles.
Exactly. I bet you lots of...
That's what you think.
That's what would be very good. And you are currently a captain in the U.S. Army, is that correct? And part of the world-class athlete program?
Yep, I'm in a unit out of Salt Lake City called the 328th Combat Support Hospital. So I work there like one weekend a month, and also applying to get back into the World Class Athlete Program, which is a program in the military for like Olympic level athletes.
Well, you qualify for that. And Chris, you have a track and field background where you hold school records at Southern Utah for the hammer throw, the discus, and the weight throw.
Wow.
Yep.
Wowzers.
You know what those are?
So and my favorite thing about the discus is, and you've probably seen this at the OTC in Colorado Springs. Where they, do you see where my favorite discus locations are in there?
Probably right by the old weight room is my guess.
Yes. Did you notice where the discus looked like they were like embedded into the shooting range? Like the person was throwing them.
Oh,
and So if the old statues made it look like there was a discus thrower, and it looked like if you followed it, the disc, because it was like discus and javelin. And the discuses are lodged in the corner of the building. So they're actually part of the physical structure sticking out.
Oh. I actually don't know what you're talking about. I'm like trying to picture where that is.
I don't either. Okay. And I lived there this summer. So
okay,
like,
so you know where the elevator is going down the stairs, entering into the pool, the downstairs entrance to the pool triathlon area, right?
Yes.
Okay, so right there across the corner from there, that's where the – so on one side's the pool. On the other side is the entrance into the gym and not into the current weight room, but where the old weight room used to be. You know,
yeah.
You know what I'm talking? Okay, so they used to have these stanchions or statues, and they used to have people doing or mimicking all the different sports. This is before they had some of the – then they've taken them down now.
Oh, cool.
But they had, like, statues of people, like, throwing javelins. And then they're, like, if you look, like, you know, 50 yards down, there were javelins sticking up out of the ground.
Very cool.
And there was a person.
Oh, okay. Super cool.
Yeah, and so there was a statue of a person throwing a discus, and then there were discuses –
Disc guy.
So there were disc guy. There's like three of them stuck in the corner of the building, which is actually the shooting range. So if you go down, it's right across the corner. It's in that like little triangle.
Oh.
So now you got something to look for next time there, both of yous.
I love that.
There you go.
Well, I meant to go on a tour to see all that. I got to go see that.
And Chris, you have a connection with Christy.
I do.
What's your story with her? How did you meet her?
So, Christy, I'll start this and you tell me how it's going to vary through your eyes, because this is probably, there's probably like, you know, two different versions of this. So who's ready for this one? I was in Sochi in the 2014 Winter Olympics as a guest, and I was a guest of NBC with my brother-in-law, Dan, who worked for Starcom Media. And he facilitated the sponsorship between Kellogg's and NBC for three Olympiads. During that time, there was like some issues with some like terrorism scares. His wife is Lebanese, and so she was like a little bit afraid to go. So he gives me a call like 2.5 weeks before we leave, and he's like, "Hey, you want to go to Sochi?"
Oh.
And I'm like, "Heck yeah, I'll go." And so we went. Mm-hmm. And when we got there, we, you know, they as part of NBC, they throw all types of stuff at you. And one of the things we went to was ice dancing. And it was, and so I had learned to, I had no idea about trading pins. And so I found somebody that was behind me that had like a bunch of pins and also a cool baseball hat. And I don't know if I approached you for the pin first or the hat, or because we ended up taking a pretty righteous selfie, the three of us. And I forget
yes,
who was
we
with.
Did.
Yes. And so that was pretty epic. And then I think I not only tried to get the hat from you there, but I also tried to get the hat from you at the NBC wrap party after a hockey game when you two were there.
Oh, yeah. The Russia-USA hockey game.
Yes. Yes. And
that was pretty epic, too.
Yeah. You turned me down both times. And I think I've tried a couple of times since to get that hat from you. But You'll wear down at some point in time, and you'll say yes.
Still getting turned down.
I might.
You may. We'll
it's
see.
It's still with me at this time. It's like a hat I travel with, hardly wear, but, you know, I'm like, I'm just going to hold on to it because I know Chris wants it.
You're just going to flaunt it.
Put it in a glass box for him one day.
Yeah. So, Chrissy, am I pretty... Am I pretty close in that description of how we came to meet?
Yeah, I would say for the most part that's pretty accurate.
He does like to elaborate, so you can be honest.
I know. I'm pretty sure you were sitting behind us in the ice dancing arena. We were like kind of high up, and me and my friend Katie Eberling, who is also one of my teammates, we were just like having a grand old time and just meeting people. That was like our best part. So like when this random person behind us starts heckling me for my hat, you know, we were just ready to heckle back. So it just turned into a little fun
heckling,
I would say.
Uh-oh.
Heckling thing, trying to get my hat.
Sorry.
He didn't mention that.
No, it was perfect.
Heckle, that's a terrible,
I can imagine.
That's a terrible word. Terrible word.
I don't know. It wasn't terrible.
No.
It was nice. Like, it was, I liked, I think one of the best parts about Sochi was just all the people I met and like trading pins and like opening conversations with like random people. And so I actually have a lot of friends, including you, that I've met from Sochi. that I've maintained a friendship with. So I think that was like, for me, that was like one of my favorite parts, and going to like the games and events and stuff like that.
Absolutely. And so when you were there, were you, because I've learned a little bit about bobsled since that time. You were, your assignment or position was, you were a brakeman or a brake person at that point.
Correct.
Time.
Yep.
And
so I was a Olympic alternate. So I went there with my team of, there was five of us, and we were just five brakemen, and we were all just like competing for those three spots to race.
Wow.
I ended up not competing. Yeah, it was honestly the girls that competed, Lauren Williams, she's like a Olympic sprinter, gold medalist, Lolo Jones, like an Olympic hurdler. And then Asia Evans, who's just like this huge beast. So they all ended up competing, and they're all amazing athletes. And so our entire field, and then my other alternate friend, Katie Eberling, who's like push champion, won world champion or silver in world championships. Like everybody had all these like crazy resumes and act like amazing athletes. Yeah. So it was, honestly, it was just an honor to be there and try to compete for Team USA. We ended up winning two medals at that Olympic game. So just in general, we were just like at the top of our game.
Well, that's awesome. That is so cool. And the bobsleds are, we got a chance to see them at the Team USA house. It's just, I think they're designed by BMW, aren't they?
Yeah, they, BMW engineers based out of the United States did the design for those sleds. And then all the parts are made from different manufacturing companies throughout the United States. So everything's like made in the USA and designed in the USA, because you would think BMW is like a German company. But
yeah,
it's
actually all U.S.
Yeah, which is kind of cool because people are like, oh, a foreign-made sled. You're like, no, completely U.S. sled.
That's cool. Let's back this up a little bit. I'm interested to know how both of you came to get into bobsledding, because it doesn't seem like it's a, unless you're Jamaican, it's not a natural transition. but I feel like there's a story about how you were recruited in here. So, Nicole, let's start with you. Nicole, how did you come to the sport of bobsledding?
Cool, yeah. So I ran track and played volleyball through college and just grew up competing. My dad played for the Huskers, and just I've grown up doing sports my whole life and being competitive. And so after college, I still wanted to do something competitively and go to the next level, but I knew I wasn't fast enough to go to the games and track. So I actually went and worked corporate world for 5 years, and it just like, I still wanted to compete, but I just couldn't figure it out. And actually one day, it's like very vivid in my mind, I was driving to my brother's house and I was listening to a podcast, and it was talking about how Vanetta Flowers went from track to bobsledding. And it was kind of telling the strengths that she had, short speed, all that kind of stuff. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like that's what I was pretty decent at in college. And so I sat on it for about a month, and I just like could not stop thinking about it. And so I went on the USABS website and saw that there were combines every summer. And so I went and told my dad, and he's like, hey, get training, or I'm booking flights for a month out. And so we flew to Park City, Utah, and I was like, either, you know, this will go great, or we'll chalk it up as just like a overdue father-daughter trip. And it ended up going well. So here I am.
That's awesome. And when was this? When did you go through the combine?
So this was the summer of 2017.
Got you. So recently.
Wow, so not that long ago.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
And is your current position?
My third year this year.
Are you currently a brake person? Is it brake person?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Because yep, I feel like brakeman is kind of sexist.
Dated.
Well, it's dated.
Yeah, brakeman, brake woman, brake person, whatever. Just
right.
The brakes.
You're on the brakes. All right.
I'm on the brakes.
And so, Chrissy, how did you find bobsled?
So I did track in college, and I went to NCAA Division I Nationals. I actually threw the hammer there. I hit the camera person. It was like the biggest disaster ever.
Oh my gosh.
And
that's
I was
great.
Like, wow.
Oh, tell me this video.
I know.
Video
it was
that.
Like crazy. Like, I know. It's not, it damaged it. So there's
well,
no
yeah,
video.
Cause she hit the camera. There's no video of it.
There was.
Yeah. So anyways, I felt like, gosh, like I trained for 5 years because I redshirted a year and now I'm done and this is how it ends. And, you know, I'm like, I'm not done. Like, I don't feel like I'm done competing. And I just got a Facebook message from that summer. Like, I graduated. I got a Facebook message from Alana Myers Taylor, who's, you know, 3-time Olympic medalist currently in the sport of bobsled. Like, just saying, hey, we saw your, you know, how you did in nationals. And, you know, we know you might not feel like you're done competing. Like, have you ever thought about trying out for bobsled? And I just remember being like, this is it. This is my chance to keep competing. Like, I, no question. Like, I was just like already like, I'm in. How do I do this? And so I did the same thing as Nicole. I went to Park City, Utah, which was like 4 hours away from where I went to school, and just took a combine, and it kind of like opened doors here and there. And I was already a commissioned second lieutenant in the Army. So I was like, how am I going to do this and that? And I found out about the program, the World Class Athlete program. So honestly, it's just been like kind of this journey that I've been on that's kind of, you know, gone different directions, but I've just been like trying to take it as it comes. And I've been on the team, national team, a few years. I've been on the development team as a pilot, and I've worked as a nurse a couple years in the Army throughout it all. And so it's been like crazy. Like, I look back and I'm like, I've been doing this for 9 years at this point, and all that I've been able to do has been really cool.
That's awesome. And being a part, I mean, just being a part of an Olympic team and a national team has got to be a huge boost for you guys as from a sports standpoint, mm-hmm. I can imagine.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I think at the end of the day, it's just like racing, competing, training, doing your best, and like enjoying the journey too. Like, what, like whatever it brings, because it obviously never goes perfectly. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
You go ahead, Nicole.
Oh, I was just going to say there's definitely like highs and lows of being a like professional athlete, but what it's like brought to our lives, the traveling, the people, the experiences. Like, I was just telling my coach the other day, I was like, I'm honestly just honored to be here. You know, it's like you can get caught up in mm-hmm. how fast you are, how strong you are. You know, you're not competing, you are competing. But it's like when you kind of take a step back, you're like, wow. It's really brought a lot to my life anyway.
Oh, I could imagine.
Totally.
How did you guys get paired together? Cause you guys are currently, paired in a two-person sled, right?
So that's the interesting part. Yeah, we can be, it always depends on what team you get named to. And then also like, just like how the team is flowing that year. So like me and Nicole have raced together quite a bit, like 2 years ago. And we won, actually every time we raced, we won gold. So we're pretty much a gold medal team. But
dynamic duo.
Except our first race in Whistler when we crashed. But besides that, we're gold medal.
Yikes. Did you guys get hurt when you crashed?
I got some ice burns. I think Chrissy.
Well, that year I got a little bit of a concussion, yeah, but not a horrible
one. That's
one.
Significant, whoa. Though. So what, like, what goes down when you guys crash? I mean, how fast are you going for, like, the lame person that doesn't know the ins and outs of bobsledding?
Well, it depends on the track and the location of the crash. Yeah, so, like, anywhere Tell them.
We were in Whistler, which is the fastest track in the world.
Okay.
So we were moving, that's for sure. We crashed out of curve 7, and there are, what, 16 curves in that track, Christy?
16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you slide all the way down. You either slide all the way down on your runners or on the side. Like, no matter what, you're going all the way down. So we were probably, what they say they clocked us at like 86.
86 miles an hour?
Probably.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you crashed at 86 miles an hour?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you just have like a motorcycle style helmet, and you're inside a small little kind of carbon fiber shell, correct? No shoulder pads, no roll bars, no airbags. Oh my!
Other than our body fat. Yeah.
Oh wow!
So I'd do well.
So I was super.
So after you crash like that, is it hard to kind of get back in the saddle? Are you gun shy? Does the team want to like assess you? Do they want to push you right back out? I mean, I'm envisioning like a Top Gun type of thing, right? You know, Mav and Goose go down.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, get them out there right away. Is that kind of the same thing?
It depends on the crash. Like sometimes it's like, okay, I know exactly what happened. Me and my brakeman are fine. Let's go. Let's do this again. And then other times you're like, I actually don't feel right. Like something, you know, like I need to like take a minute and try to figure out like if I'm okay before you just like jump back in, just because of the nature of the sport and like the speeds that we're crashing.
Yeah.
Like sometimes your head's not okay. We've had, you know, I had like a bulging disc in my neck after one crash. So like, I was like, ow, my neck really hurts. Oof. You know? So it's like, that's not something you really mess around with per se.
For sure.
So you take
they
a little bit.
Though,
you take
your only. They do say, though, you're only a real bobsledder after you crash and get back into the sled. So it is.
It's kind of like cycling.
Thing, yeah.
Like, there's two types of cyclists right out there, the ones that have crashed and the ones that will crash.
Right.
Same thing.
That's bobsledder, too.
Nicole, tell me this.
Totally.
As when you're in that position, you're in the rear, so you're essentially just along for the ride, and there's got to be a lot of trust that you have to have in the driver to be in that position, to be going like as fast as you can. How long does it take for you to kind of establish like full on, like I trust you 100%. Does that come like naturally? Or are there things that you guys do like team building that brings that there? Or is it something that I'm just kind of overthinking?
Yeah, no, I would say all of that. And I think it also helps just like having a good relationship, respect, friendship with the pilot, because I believe if you have camaraderie, you're working together, I just, you know, you're more comfortable going down the track. But at this point, I'm pretty fortunate. I just fly with the top pilots. And so, I'm pretty much always trusting them. We crash, we get back in, like that stuff happens. And that's just kind of the nature of the sport. So fortunately, I'm able to trust all the people I'm with. I mean, going to driving school is a little bit different when you're just hopping in with people who haven't driven much, but it's been a cool thing to have a friendship with like Christy and get to fly with her and do that kind of thing.
Christy, for you, how long did it take you for when you were a brake person to get to be a pilot? Is that something you have to earn? Do you have to, you know, do you kind of have to cut your teeth?
Nicole mentioned driving school.
Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, when I got into it, like braking was kind of, you're kind of like putting your feet into the water type of thing. Like you want to do it and you're like, let's just try this and see how it is. And then you kind of get in a little deeper, you know, as the sport progresses. And then after Sochi, I was like, you know what? I want to like dive in and just develop the skill of driving so that I'm like, I have a little more longevity in the sport per se. Cause like braking is so like, they would pull people from different, you know, different sprinters here and there. And I felt like, oh gosh, my position is so like volatile. Like, I don't know if I'm going to be like in the top position just because they can just pull this person anytime now and boom, I'm pushed out. So that's kind of why I was like, let me try driving because I love this sport and see. And it actually, once I started driving, I was like, wow, this is 1,000 times better than being a brakeman too. Sorry, Nicole.
No.
is there like an age spectrum that kind of falls with you guys? I mean, like, I know that in triathlon and in multi-sport, there is, you know, there's like a genetic kind of peak where people are reaching, you know, reaching the best that they do. And you don't see a lot of pros outside of that. You know, if you look at the starting line in Kona, you don't see a lot of pros in their 40s out there.
Yes.
In sledding, is there kind of a typical age range, or is there a time when you're like, yeah, you're too old, grandpa, or like, okay, boomer. Sorry,
Depends. Like, they've had guys, like, well, granted, the guy lost his gold medal because he was doping, but the guy in Sochi was 40 that won Olympic gold at the time. But
what position was he?
The pilot.
Pilot, okay.
I would say for a pilot, though,
like, it takes so long to become really good at it, so.
So you probably see pilots later, like, a little bit older than your brakeman?
Well, yeah, but I think they start younger.
Okay.
So it takes a lot of years, and so it's like, I'm 29, and I thought about starting, but it's like, I don't have that long in this sport left. I mean, so it's like, I don't know, Christy, because how long have you been driving?
I've been driving 5 years. So I started, five when I was 27, and now I'm 33. So I just turned 33. And like, I would say I'm at that point where it's like, I'm like getting better, but like everyone driving ahead of me right now has been driving for like 8+ years.
Wow.
So I'm like still behind the, like, the curve of them, like, and how long they've been learning.
And you still
You
still have to be fast to drive too, because you're still pushing at the start, so it's not like you're can just be like, you know,
which is
Fred,
like,
Flintstone out there. Mm-hmm. Although gravity would work.
Totally.
So what do you guys do for
That's a thing.
What do you guys do for training to maintain all that speed and the skill? Like, what is it? What is a day in the life of a brakeman and a pilot look like?
Pretty similar, I would say. Like, we're both like training every day. Some days, like, our double workouts where it's like taking 2 to 3 hours per workout, and then other days
it might be
just like a 2-hour workout. But then we're also like, our diet is pretty consistent recovery, so like, you know, cold tub or like infrared sauna, Normatec pan,
massage,
like, you know, some sort of physical therapy if we need it. Like, it's kind of like a full-time job. Like, if you want to be good. Yeah,
it is. Like, Christy and I, we, even though she's a pilot and I'm a brakeman, like, we have the same coach, training coach, and so he writes our programs for us, but they're basically, I mean, very similar. We're just on different weeks. But yeah, we pretty much do the same thing. As a pilot, you want to be just as fast and strong. And that's obviously what the brakemen are working on too. So
that's awesome.
It's pretty similar.
And you guys are in the second year of the quad. How's it going in your preparation for the next Olympiad? That's in, where's the next Winter Olympics at?
Oh, don't ask me.
Beijing.
Okay. Yeah. I knew it was in Asia. I couldn't remember. How are you guys doing in your training for that?
It's going well. Like, I've always kind of been trying to find the right coach for me. So I've used, you know, not used, that's a bad word, but I've worked with like a few different coaches. And I really like the coach I'm working with right now. And I feel like just with my age, like, I know I'm like an older pilot, as they say, like, I'm just trying to maintain like where I've been and where I'm at and just like stay healthy. And I feel like that's been kind of my main focus.
Yeah. I'm kind of in the same boat. I'm still trying to figure out, since it's technically just going into my third year, I'm still learning like what training works the best, like where to live that works the best. And like, I found out this summer actually that when I just focus on training, it doesn't go as great. Like, I need another outlet, whether it's like volunteering or a part-time job, just kind of to break it up. Cause once I start focusing just on training, it actually goes worse. So
really,
That's kind of like where I'm at with my situation, just figuring out like what program works the best, where to live during the summer and off season. And then like what else I can do, because still some of my best numbers were when I worked 40 hours a week and just trained on the side.
Cause you probably,
so it's been kind of a learning experience.
You probably almost get like paralysis from analysis, you know, after you work out and you've got too much time on your hands. You just kind of start analyzing
you
and picking
overthink
things.
Everything.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. Totally. That's kind of where I love to have like something else going on besides just training. But it's like finding that balance, if anything.
Right.
Christy, do you use any of your nursing skills outside of the military? Is that as part of your outlet?
Yeah, I work at a InstaCare in Utah. So I, but maybe like one day a week I'll work in the summertime.
Okay.
I like a 12-hour shift, but it's great because I feel like the like training is so self-centered, and you're always like focusing kind of on like my body and how I feel and me. And so when I go to work, it's always like nothing related to me. It's about everyone else, and I love that because I'm like, it just takes the focus off of me and puts it on someone else. And I actually, you crave that if you don't get to do it as often.
Yeah. I mean,
you do. I was just telling my sister, she was getting ready for work, and I'm like, man, I miss like dressing up to like go do something. I'm like, all we wear. She's like, no, you don't miss it. I'm like, yes, I do.
Yes. Yeah.
Do you guys get to wear those super cool, like skin tight outfits like superheroes? Kind of like Gabby when she races.
<It's true.
laughs> It looks awesome.
That's us dressing up.
That's awesome. Where are you guys? What's your next competition that you have coming up?
We both have different ones coming up. I'm going to be competing in Park City, Utah, December 8th and 9th. So in a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's coming
up. At North America's Cup races. Yeah, there'll be three races there. And then Nicole's going to, you can tell them, Lake Placid.
Yeah, going back to Lake Placid, just kind of as like an alternate to help out with the World Cup and slide there. They have two World Cups there back to back just because, isn't it because Park City was closed, Christy? Is that why they did that?
Yeah, we were supposed to race this week in Park City, but they closed it.
Why'd they close it?
So yeah, I'll be heading back up there, but go ahead.
Oh, the refrigeration that they use to like maintain the ice and keep it cold, one of the pumps broke down in Park City, like right before they like turned it on, and then it like broke.
Oh, okay.
So,
that makes sense.
The problem is to get that part. It's like, it's not like they have bobsled refrigeration plant parts.
Yeah.
You know, on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, the Home Depot shop.
Amazon can't save us.
Delivery.
Oh, well,
yeah. So they like ordered one, but they can't get it till like January. But then they borrowed one from like a different track in Canada. But even still, it's like, it's just a big process. And so the track was like under construction again.
Cool. Gabby, do you have any questions that you that I've kind of missed here?
Let's see. Well, if you guys could pick like, you know, your favorite part of bobsledding, what would it be?
I love that. I have a lot of favorite parts but can I name a few?
Do it.
Okay. So number one for me is like the traveling and the people I meet. Cause like my whole like focus when I went to college and joined the Army was like, I want to see the world. And then I fell into bobsled and it has given me that opportunity. So I've seen the world, and then just also the adrenaline rush of going down a icy chute has like nothing compares to it. I've gone like skydiving, bungee jumping, and those are all fun and everything, but like getting in the sled, staring down this icy track, knowing you don't really have brakes, like you're just picking up speed and you're in charge of it. It's like real life Mario Kart or something.
Oh, that's great.
I love that.
But you can't fly off the rainbow road.
Yeah, oh, you can't.
Hopefully not.
No throwing tortoise shells.
Yeah, no tortoise shells.
And how about you, Nicole? Like, what's your favorite part or parts of bobsledding?
Yeah, there's been quite a few besides what she said, because that's literally all the same thing. But one thing it's done for me, it's like my whole family has got really involved, and it's brought all of us closer in kind of a weird way. Like my brother's in Houston, but he is actually like my marketing guy, and so everything that I do is running through him. So he talks to my dad and my other brother and my mom more, and so it just like has all kept us really connected, and something that we were close, but this gives us another reason to talk a lot. And so when they came out to Worlds last year and watched, it was just like, it was pretty cool to stand there and be representing the United States, and then seeing how it's like brought my whole family together in a different way. And so that's been one of my favorite parts, along with the endless list of the things that it's opened in my life, for experiences, traveling, friends, just all of it has been just the biggest blessing. So, yeah, like Chrissy said, there's an endless list, but besides what she said, I would say pretty much what it's done for me and my family.
All right, you guys both mentioned you guys both mentioned travel, and I'm really curious as to know where is the coolest place that you've been to in through your eyes.
Oh, I bet we stay the same place.
No. I know, I knew too.
St. Moritz, Switzerland, probably.
Really?
Definitely.
Is that yours?
I would say. Okay. What? Yeah, I would say that, but I would. My rookie year, Christy and I and another brakeman, we went over to Europe and literally traveled Europe for a month. And we went to France, Switzerland, Austria, Germany, and we slid there and competed. But I would say that was probably one of the coolest things, like road tripping through Europe with a bobsled in our trunk.
Wow. That's going to be a big trunk.
It was.
Big, big 16 passenger van.
It's like a sprinter van.
Okay.
Yeah.
One last question that when you're going down and you look at the sled itself, are the runners or the blades, are they sharpened like ice skates or are they just kind of just there?
They're not sharp like ice skates. They're actually the flatter they are, the faster they are because they don't cut as much ice.
Okay.
And you're just ultimately gliding over the ice and controlling the pressures of the curves with those, like, we don't like the runners, but some of them are sharper depending, like if you want to have a little more control, then you would have like a sharper blade, but it would never like cut you if you like ran your hand over it or anything like ice skate.
Yeah, they're like smooth.
Okay, that makes sense.
And we polish them is what we say. Like when we like get them ready for racing, we're polishing like the steel on the runners.
Gotcha. Cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome. This has been super fascinating.
I know.
This has been super fun. Can you tell us if we have people listening out there that are, you know, in your same boat where they're wanting to know more about how to get into bobsled or how they can, you know, find a combine, where would you have them look?
I would go to the Team USA, USA Bobsled Skeleton homepage and click on, I think it's like recruitment.
Yeah.
And they give you a list of like all the combines we host. They're usually start, you know, in the early summer. And they will go until like the fall time. So that's the best time for you to like try to prepare to take a combine. And that's really like the biggest like step to getting in the door. Yeah. So like if you are looking to try and do bobsled, like you really want to work on your sprinting, your lifting, and then they throw in like a shot put toss and a broad jump too. So like work on that explosive movements and things like that.
All right. I think that sounds like everybody's got their the pathway laid out for them. Just kind of follow what you guys did.
And how can we follow you guys on like social media or websites or blogs? Can we follow along like with your journey to Beijing?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So like I have a website that I will post like any events that are coming up, blogs, just things that are going on through the season or, you know, just different issues, but, or whatever. And then you can follow along. And I think, Christy, you have that same website. It's just yourfirstandlastname.com. Is that what it is for you?
Is yours that too?
Yeah.
All right.
So we can always.
ChristyCopeland.com.
ChristyCopeland.com. And NicoleBrundgaard.com.
Yeah.
Cool. And do you guys have Instagrams or Facebooks or whatever the kids are doing these days?
I use Instagram.
Ditto. It's the best.
Yeah.
Same.
Cool.
And it's just their first name and last name.
First name and last name. Lowercase, uppercase. Mm-hmm. Okay.
All cool.
Lower. Yeah.
Lower. Great.
Lower. Yeah.
And you guys are pretty. Yeah, you guys are pretty. I see Chrissy. She seems to be like she's always popping up on my timeline. I'm like, I don't even have any idea how you do half the stuff there.
Doing stories.
Like where you get the little stickers and it kind of bounces back and forth and like there's glitter and I'm like, I don't know.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I'm like, I must be old. I gotta ask my kids how you do that.
I'm just giving. That's what the people want.
That's what the people want. You're just giving the people what they want. Gold medals and gold medals and flashy posts. That's what it is.
Right. Yeah, that's what I dream about. So.
Well, that's awesome. Chrissy and Nicole, we can't thank you enough for being with us today and spending some time. I know that you guys are in the gym right now, and we're taking you away from your training, and it's over the holidays. So we want to wish you the best in the upcoming season and your upcoming competitions and on your way, your road to Beijing. We know that you guys will be great.
Aww.
And you represent the USA. And if you ever run into any cool swag, like hats or whatever, you know, just kind of
take it.
Yes.
Maybe a pin.
Send them our way.
Oh, thank you guys so much. It was awesome to be on here.
Well, we appreciate
it. For sure.
We appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Gabby, thanks for inviting me over to your house and making coffee.
Absolutely.
We will wish you guys all the best this holiday season. Be safe, and until next time, we'll see you on the Be Better podcast.
Bye, guys.